Well, if you have a Bible with you this morning, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12 together, kind of in our opening scripture, and we're going to be staying there quite a bit this morning. And I got to give you a little bit of background for that, and that's because as we've been walking through this series in Proverbs, I've had several people very excited about this, came up and said, you know, I've never really studied the Proverbs before. A couple of them hadn't been believers very long, so they'd read John, you know, maybe some other Psalms, but they'd never really studied Proverbs. And so we keep referring back to Proverbs chapter 3. I thought, you know, let's take some time. We'll really dig into that this morning and really understand it. So whether you've studied Proverbs for 50 plus years or whether it's brand new to you, hopefully this is going to lay a little bit of the foundation of what we've been talking about and what we're going to continue in our series. But Proverbs chapter 3, while you're turning there, a couple other quick announcements. We do have the potential for a brand new trip to El Salvador coming up August 26th through September the 2nd. And I want to separate that from the other announcements so you could hear. This is very different in the sense that we're going with Living Water International. They dig wells all over the world to provide fresh water. And so it's a brand new trip for us. Clark Holland's kind of organizing it for us, and he's going to help us have a meeting next Sunday after second service in the South Overflow Room. If you want any information at all, just stick around, and I'd be glad to fill you in on that. And then I believe they're still going to have the evangelism trip to El Salvador this fall as well. So kind of cool to see how that partnership with that nation has come about over the years in the life of the ministries of our church. And then finally, one prayer request. Please continue to pray for Tuesday Connection. Starts this Tuesday. More information in your bulletin again and in the Ministry Mall area. But rather than announce those classes, we've been doing that for a few weeks. Pray this week. Tuesday Connection starts. There are some folks that could really use our prayers. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Let's stand together if you're able as we read this opening portion of Scripture. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father, the son he delights in. You can go ahead and have a seat. Okay, so I want to ask you a question this morning, and I do want you to raise your hand, okay, just to see how many of us have been in this situation before, okay? How many here have ever found themselves driving the wrong way on a one-way street? How many have ever? Oh, my word. Wait a minute. Why is there a 10-year-old back there with his hand up? Well, I'm hoping second service are better people than you guys. Good grief. That really does kind of surprise me. I thought maybe I was unique because a few years ago, here we go talking about the unique part again, I was back in my hometown, East Liverpool, Ohio, and, you know, I lived there the first 18 years of my life. I don't know any of the street names. I just know where you turn and where you go. Anybody else like that? Grew up in a small town. So I went back home. I forget what I was doing, but I turned onto this street, and I'm heading down the street, and I looked over. And there was a woman standing on the front porch of her house screaming, "You're going the wrong way!" I mean, screaming. And I didn't even know who she was talking to till I realized I was the only car on the road, which was probably a good thing at that point. And so there was nobody, you know, coming the other way, so nobody parked on either side. So I went ahead and made a big U-turn and turned around and started going. They had changed the direction of the street since I had moved. How dare they do that? Right? It should always stay exactly as it was. And so, you know, I remembered in driver's education, that was one of the things that was kind of drilled into us. You don't do U-turns. They're dangerous. You can hurt somebody. You know, other people aren't expecting you to do it. And so I've always kind of had this fear of doing a U-turn. But boy, I did it real quick because that woman was going to come out and beat me for one thing. Just screaming at me. But you know what? As dangerous as a U-turn may be, there are situations that require it, aren't there? There are times where you absolutely need to make a U-turn, and if you don't, you could get into a lot of trouble. So we've been studying the book of Proverbs all summer, and really our key verses have come from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And they're right there in your sermon notes, right at the top, because we're going to refer to these a lot this morning. But look at what they say again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You know, as I've been studying these verses, again, getting ready for this series and thinking through what we're going to talk about really this past 6 months, and realizing that I may want to be on a straight path, the reality is that many times I find myself on a very crooked path. Many times I find myself going in a direction, sometimes the wrong direction, on a one-way street. And let's face it, sometimes that's away from God's will for our lives, isn't it? We find ourselves doing that. And then it wasn't too long after that, I came upon a bumper sticker, and I'd seen it before, but it really stuck in my head, thinking of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. God allows U-turns. Anybody ever seen that bumper sticker? I love that. I love that reality because it's an awesome thought. God allows U-turns. It was funny because I had this picture in my mind of God kind of staying in heaven like the woman on that porch, yelling at me, "You're going the wrong way. Turn around before you hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, before it's too late." Now, why do I find so much hope in that idea? You know, I don't know about you, but when I study the Proverbs, anytime I do, this series has been no different, I find out a lot about myself. I mean, I find out a lot about life. And I've learned so much as we study Proverbs. You know, what is it to live for Christ? What is it to call yourself a Christian? And to set your feet on those straight paths, those level paths. But see, the only problem is that every week that we've studied these different areas, I've found places that I need to grow. Sometimes that gets frustrating. Can't we just have one week where we read some scripture and I go, "Yep, I'm good with that one," and just go on, right? I don't seem to find those very often. But I've been convicted almost every Sunday of areas in my life where, and sometimes they're small areas, sometimes they're big areas, but I need to make a U-turn. I need to be going in a different direction. We started out the series by talking about Proverbs for the eyes and for the mouth, for the hands and the feet, Proverbs for the heart. And this time I don't really need to ask, do I? But how many here have ever fallen into a pattern, let's say, for instance, of using your mouth in a way that did not honor God? Sometimes it can be in the heat of a moment. Sometimes it can become a pattern that you allow to develop. Maybe we've allowed our eyes and our ears to take in something that doesn't honor Jesus. It really would not be His will for our lives. Or we've allowed our feet to take us places where we really shouldn't have been. If we call ourselves Christians, that's really not where we should find ourselves. We also took one week and looked at Proverbs for the finances. Well, again, I bet almost all of us have had those experiences where we needed to make an emergency U-turn because of something we'd done with our finances. And if we didn't, we were going to face negative consequences. God cares about every one of these areas. You realize that. He understands how life works and what we can do to ourselves sometimes. And He stands there like that lady on the porch, telling us at times we need to make a U-turn. The reality, and I guess it does bring me some comfort, is that there's no one in here that's unique in that way. We've all experienced this reality. Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned. All of us fall short of God's glory. We've all done this. And so we've all had to make that U-turn when we were heading in the wrong direction. And guess what? There will be times in the future where we again need to remember the bumper sticker, God allows U-turns. But that's why the message is so powerful for me. See, God doesn't just point out our faults and then condemn us. That'd be easy, wouldn't it, to be honest? Ah, you messed up. Here comes the hammer. No, He shows us where we err, where we sin against Him, and then shows us also how to turn around and go the other direction. He shows us where we failed, then He comes alongside and He helps us turn it around. I'm sure almost everyone in here has experienced that reality. In fact, what I'd like to do as we look into this passage, I want to just stop right now and I want to thank God for doing that in each of our lives. Can we do that? Let's pray together. Father, I look over this congregation and I see so many wonderful people, so many faces of those that I know and that I've loved for so many years and been an integral part of my life. And I know some of the U-turns that they've made. They've shared their testimony with me. And Lord, I thank you that they're in my life today because they listened to your voice and they made that U-turn when you told them to. And so I thank you that you make that a possibility for every single one of us. And then there are a lot of faces this morning that I don't know real well. And yet I know there are probably similar stories. Lord, I also know there may be some here today and maybe again some of the ones that I know very well who right now are already realizing as your Holy Spirit works on them, there might be a U-turn needed right now. Father, help us to look to the past, to see your faithfulness, to trust our future to you as well. And even as we look through this passage today, if there are areas where we need to turn and go in a different direction, point them out to us and then give us the strength and the conviction to do it. Lord, you're so good to us, and we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We're going to focus on the commands, okay? You need to make a U-turn, or you've made a U-turn in the past. There are four commands I want to point out as we look at this kind of hallmark verse passage for our series. Okay, here's the first command. Find your security in God. Okay, find your security in God. That's the first command. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Okay, I want to read you a story today that kind of illustrates this just a little bit. Okay, the Bailey family in Phoenix have a young daughter, Jill. A powerful thunderstorm shook the house one night. I think I got this out of one of the Daily Bread things. A powerful thunderstorm shook the house one night, and Jill cried out, "Mama!" Her mother was tired and said, "Sweetheart, go to sleep. Jesus is in there with you." Again, the lightning flashed and the thunder roared. Jill called out again, "Mama, please come in here." Her mother, intending to pacify her, said, "Honey, go to sleep. Jesus is in there with you." "Mama," the little girl pleaded one more time, "you come in here with Jesus and let me go in your bedroom with Daddy." Okay, this child wanted security, wanted to be with somebody she could touch and feel right there next to her, all right? So where do you find this security? Where do you kind of, you have to trust in order to make a U-turn, okay? To be honest with you, the way the lady was screaming at me on the front porch brought conviction that I was doing something wrong, okay? So I kind of put my trust in that reality. How do you trust? Well, the U-turn really begins with trust in the Lord, doesn't it? It's the change that comes in our lives, and it has to begin with God. Now, this is absolutely true with salvation. The Bible's very clear, and if you've been coming to our church any time at all, you've taken discipleship training, you know a very clear biblical reality is that we can do nothing to save ourselves in and of ourselves. There's nothing that we can do. We could never be good enough. And so the Bible teaches us the wages of sin is something pretty significant. What's the wages of sin? It's death. That's pretty serious, isn't it? But the gift of God is eternal life given to us one way. How's it given to us? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the gift of God, it's given to us. Okay? But I do believe that verse 5 even goes beyond salvation. It means salvation, but it goes beyond that. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, let me tell you what I believe is one of the greatest temptations for believers, okay? Those who have already trusted Christ for salvation. We learn what it means, and I fully believe it, and we grasp it, that we trust Him and Him alone for our sins, for our salvation, for that big picture kind of stuff. But I got to tell you something. I think we're challenged sometimes because we forget that message when it comes to some of the details. When it comes to some of the parts of our lives. I want to give you an example. Perhaps you heard the message on giving our mouths to God, all right, from the Proverbs, right? You heard how wrong it is to gossip or how wrong it is to lie or to use language that doesn't honor God. And you were convicted by the Holy Spirit to make some changes. Maybe there were some things that were going on right then that the Holy Spirit kind of came along and said, yeah, this message is actually for you today. Now, here's the temptation that comes along, though, and it's true probably for most of us. So you might want to sit down and make a list of ways that you're going to change. Maybe you've been gossiping at work. Maybe you've been telling a lie to get out of some trouble that you might be in, whatever it is. And you start off your new week with this new fervor. I'm going to make these changes. I know that would please God. It's not negative reasons. I know that that would allow me to keep my witness, all those different kinds of things. But the only problem is this. We've got to back up to it again. We can't do that in our own strength, can we? You see, in our minds, I think it's very tempting that we slip back a little bit, go back into that poor theology and think, I'm going to do this. I have to do this. And you rely on your willpower and determination. Now, how are we told to make the U-turn? You got the verse right there in front of you in your sermon notes, verse 5. Trust, where? In the Lord. Okay? So I want to ask you a question. If you've grasped this concept that you cannot save yourself from your sins, I cannot save myself, that's absolutely biblical, what makes you think you can change yourself or go in an opposite direction all in your own strength either? Now, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching with us today because that's the truth. We fall back into that, don't we? Oh, I just need to do this. Now, of course, we play a part in that. That's what discipleship training is all about. That's what some of the classes that help us really apply Scripture to our lives. I understand that. But first, we must trust in the Lord. I mean, do you get that? Do you understand? That's where it begins. Now, command number 2 tells us how we do that. Okay, command number 2, surrender completely. Surrender completely. All right, continue with verse 5 with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, I know some of you have people in your life that impact you in some ways that you just cannot forget, and I have some of those too. My son is really the grammar police. He really is. I'll say something that is not grammatically correct, and I can hear him, you know, rolling around in Denver that far away. Oh, I can't believe you said. Okay, I'm going to admit right up front, for those of you English teachers, there is no verb in what I'm calling command number 2. Okay, if it's a command, you're supposed to do something. There's no command there. But I think I'm still breaking up these verses in a proper manner because the reality is in command number 2, it's really more the extent to which we're to stick to command number 1. It's the extent to which. We sang it this morning, and one of the things I love about Scripture is the completeness of it all. Jesus paid it. So how much to Him do I owe? All to Him I owe. Okay, how long is this promise good? Forever. I love all the absolutes of Scripture. Well, you see, in command number 1, we're to make the U-turn. Now we're learning the extent. This cannot be a partial decision that we make. It just can't. In fact, I want to throw out a challenge to you this morning, okay? If you don't remember anything else this morning, if you're a faithful follower of Christ and you're right with Scripture and all that kind of stuff, listen to this challenge this morning. A partial decision to follow God will possibly result in more frustration than living to please ourselves. Does that make sense this morning? To kind of follow God and to mostly follow God, that's actually going to lead to a lot more frustration in a person's life than just simply living to please self. Now, I'm not saying so just go out and live to please self. I'm saying the exact opposite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Boy, it gives us some ideas of what it's going to be like in the days before Jesus returns. And many of us believe that could be the day that we're living in. Just read down through that passage. But we hear the way that people will live. They're in all kinds of trouble, all kinds of challenges. But the phrase that catches my attention the most comes in verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Now, I know some of you, and I've read some very interesting books about the kind of numerology of Scripture and how different passages tie together. It is interesting to me. I'm not saying that I buy into it completely. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. 2 Timothy 3, 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. So they've trusted in the Lord, but is it with all their heart? No. And it's a sign of the last days. It's a sign of the end times when, yeah, we don't want to say that we don't believe in God and we're not following Jesus, but at the same time, I'm going to hold part of my life here. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to be in control of that. It doesn't work. Trust me, I've gotten that. It's frustrating beyond compare. And so you have to ask yourself, do I have a form of godliness, but I deny the power that comes from giving my life fully to Christ, to letting Him be in charge? See, the challenge is that we look to the Lord in some fashion, but we don't give Him everything. So command number two tells us we can't do this thing half-hearted. We have to give it our all. All right, here's the third command in the passage that we've been studying. Reject personal reasoning. I'm going to tell you right up front, this is a tough one. This is going to go against so much cultural teaching, but it's not against Scripture at all. Reject personal reasoning. Keep going with verse 5. And lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, we've already kind of alluded to this, and it's not a brand new thought, but it really is a natural overflow of the reality that if we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, we're not going to lean into how we see things and how we think. That's kind of in the opposite direction again. But what are we really learning here? What we need to grasp is that we have to be very cautious when we think that we have an understanding of something that's happening in our lives. And I know it's a lot of what we do, to be honest with you. Sometimes maybe you've got a prayer partner and you pray together. There's a circumstance going on in your life, and maybe between the two of you or in a prayer group, you kind of speculate, well, maybe God's doing this and maybe God's doing that. Yeah? It's very possible. Or maybe you just interpret it in a very certain way. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the reality is in the end, we have very limited understanding, don't we? Now, maybe I just understand the way my brain works more than you do, that I'm very limited. I understand that. But something goes on and we back up and we try to figure it out. But you see, our understanding, here's the truth of Scripture. The way we see things, the way we think, the way we understand things will always be clouded by sin. It always will, because that's our nature. And so we must always look back to God and to His Word for clarity. That's why I love Scripture. Because we can go back, well, I feel like doing this. Okay, what does Scripture say about that? What says I shouldn't do it? But I feel like it. Yeah? Well, get over it. I mean, for me, that helps me. Because our feelings can be all over the place, and so can our thinking. Many times we know that our feelings are not trustworthy, but we still think that our thoughts are, because we're bright people. We know better. But it's not true. That's exactly what we're challenged by. And so it's always a temptation to draw conclusions based on our opinions, based on our insight. But God simply says this, don't do that. Lean not on your own understanding. How did Proverbs 3 even begin? We read it. Okay, look at verses 1 and 2 again. My son, now realize clearly, my daughter, my child, it's for all of us, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Now look at the promise that goes with this. This is so great. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. I know you know Scripture well enough to know that's not a financial promise. It's a promise of, and I have come to bring you life and to bring it more abundantly. Okay? So don't forget what God has told us. Look to that always. Keep His commands in your heart. That means you have to study Scripture. You really need to do those memory verses and to constantly be filtering what your day is, what's happening in your day through His Word. Keep His commands in your heart. And when that happens, wow, you're going to experience a lot of blessings. And, I mean, it really is very practical. It says prolong your life many years. Think of the people who have died because they were living outside of God's will for their lives. Absolutely. Premature death is absolutely available, you know, if you want to take the wrong way. But that's what we're talking about. Don't give in to the temptation of looking at things your way. It's a temptation for every one of us. Keep looking to God in every way. Okay, here's the fourth command. Fourth command in the passage, always keep the Lord in front. Okay, always keep the Lord in front. Proverbs 3, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. How many ways? Ugh! It's awesome, but it's also frustrating. Well, but I don't want to do it now. It's Friday night. Well, I don't want to do that in this situation. I have a degree in that area. I know what I'm doing. Wait a minute. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And it's so clear. The writer of Proverbs understood us, didn't he? You know why? Because he understood himself. He knew what happened so often in his life. And when these circumstances arise, the first thing we should do is to acknowledge God. How many times have you had that happen? Because I bet you have. How often should we do it? Always, if this situation arises, and the first thing you do is you stop and you pray. Or you stop and think about Scripture. Or maybe even call somebody and have them pray with you. Go to God first. Don't even try to handle that circumstance on your own. It's tempting. I'm telling you, in our culture today, you go to the self-help section, and according to everything that I've seen, you should be able to do this all yourself. But it's silly, isn't it? I mean, when you really break down some of these philosophies that we hear in our world, it's silly. There's not a single person who could ever be strong enough, even if they were bright enough, to do this all on their own. And yet we try. We keep trying. And we're not exempt from that. Now, we don't always immediately understand why we're going through what we're going through. I hope you realize that. That's some of the great spiritual unknowns of life, isn't it? And I bet you have areas in your life where when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why did that have to happen that way? Or what was going on exactly that caused that to happen? One of the first things I can remember with us several years ago is that Jill and I had this idea that one Sunday we were going to have an outdoor service down on the point. We were going to just share the gospel with the whole night. And we got the permits and had a truck down there with a flatbed, big flatbed truck and the worship band over it. And woke up that morning and you could hear the rain on the roof. You could hear it. And I can remember lying there just thinking, you know, Lord, why would you do that? We felt like you wanted us to have that service down there. We planned it all. We want people to hear and to see us having fun down. I still don't have an answer for that. I don't know why. Does God know why we didn't have it on the point? He does. Now, I'm just telling you, that might be a silly example, but I was so frustrated at the time. I can't wait to get to heaven and ask Him, Lord, and I bet, I know there were specific reasons why. We went through the steps we went through and it didn't work out and whatever other reason. Now, I don't know why. We tried it two more times and it kept raining all three times. So if you haven't noticed, Joel and I gave up. All right, Lord, maybe you don't want us to do that. I don't know. But wait a minute. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Okay, Lord, I need to trust You with all my heart. I need to lean not on my own understanding. You have a purpose. Do you hear the way in which you're surrendering when you do these kinds of things? You're just giving it to God. You have a direction for us. Have you ever prayed this? Help me just to follow You. Help me simply to follow You, not my own ways. Read those four commands again. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, one of the most awesome parts of Scripture, I love several truths as you study the Bible as a whole, is that God never tells you to take off something like in Galatians, Ephesians, or take off pride, take off this, without also putting something back on in its place. I love that. And in the same way, God never gives us something that we need to do without also giving us a promise of what will happen if we obey Him. It's always in there. You'll always find it throughout Scripture. Now, here's a promise. If we obey, it comes at the end of verse 6. Proverbs 3, verse 6. And He will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. Now, I believe we can all resonate with the fact that we desire safety, don't we? We desire to feel safe. No one likes to feel as though they're in danger. But sometimes that safety may not be everything that we think it is. I want to read you a real quick story. I came across this a while back and I held on to it because, wow, to think that these kinds of things happen. A United Press release in a Midwestern city reported the story of a hospital that underwent a safety check by local fire department officials. For 35 years, the hospital staff had relied on their system of fire hoses to protect them in case of a fire. They knew that they and the patients were safe in case of an emergency. All they had to do was uncoil the water hoses and they could put out any fire. However, in this particular inspection, the inspectors discovered that the firefighting equipment had never been connected to the city's main water source. The pipe that led from the building extended 4 feet underground, and then it stopped. The medical staff and the patients had felt complete confidence in the system. They thought if they had a blaze and if one had broken out, they could depend on a nearby hose to extinguish it. But theirs was a false security. Although the costly equipment with its polished valves and well-placed outlets was impressive to see, it lacked the most important thing: water. I read stories like this, and then every time I go past, you see those stations with the fire hoses all, then I start worrying about it. I heard something the other day, I shouldn't tell you this. I heard the other day that elevators no longer, if you push the close button, because it's waiting too long, that all those are disconnected now for safety reasons. Isn't that messed up? See, Mary's already passed out in the third row. She's like, what a lie. So why do they leave the button on there? Because you'll get frustrated if you can't push it. That's what I heard. Now, I don't know if that's true. That was extra. I didn't have that in the notes. But I just, after reading this, I walked past a couple of those hoses and maybe it's not even connected. And I'm putting my security, now I understand, issues like that, public safety and all that. But think about your own life. Okay, think about how we look at things. There was a conclusion to this story. It says, there is a caution we need to understand when it comes to trust. Be careful not to misplace it. So don't, the idea, should I trust in others? Should I trust in myself? What did we just read? Trust in the Lord. Everywhere around me, I see people who trust in individuals who will let them down. They trust in things that won't last. They risk disillusionment because they put their trust in objects that aren't trustworthy. I thought that was a good line. They put their trust in places that are not trustworthy. U-turns can be dangerous things, can't they? Yeah, they absolutely can. They're certainly no fun. At least it wasn't for me. My palms were sweating, I can remember, as I made that U-turn in the middle of the street. But sometimes, you know what? They're necessary to avoid danger and to get back on the right path. I've not been back in years, but I remember the first time I drove through New Jersey. Anybody ever drive through New Jersey? Oh, and you lived to tell about it too. Yeah, it was kind of a miracle in my life. And I don't know if it's this way all over the state, but the part where I was driving, they actually have planned U-turns built into the roads. I remember the first time I read the sign, it said, if you need to go left at the next light, make a U-turn after the light. I'm like, it told me to make a U-turn. What is that? But they're built in. The U-turns are built in. I had to think about it again. The reality is, God knows we need U-turns as well, and He's built it into the plan. He knows how to help us make those U-turns. I want to, again, show how our opening passage concludes. All right, we're just going to look at these last verses, and then we're going to pray. After encouraging us to trust in the Lord with everything, not to rely on ourselves, to acknowledge Him so that our paths are what? So they're straight. Look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Because where did that come from? It came from the Lord, didn't it? Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now look at verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke. Okay? I'm really praying that God is showing every one of us that there may be areas where, it probably is time for a U-turn in that area. And God is standing on the porch yelling at you this morning, go the other way. Don't resent that. Do you get it this morning? Don't be upset with Him. Don't be beaten down by it. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent His rebuke. Why? Because the Lord disciplines those He loves. It makes sense, doesn't it? As a father, the son, the daughter, the child, He delights in. If you say, make a U-turn, it's because He loves you. Because He doesn't want to see that harm come into your life. God shows the one He loves when it's time to make a U-turn, and He helps us safely navigate the changes that are needed. Now, I know that today is a little bit different of a message because we've been talking about the ears or the tongue, something very specific, the finances. Today's a big, broad, general kind of area. But I believe the Holy Spirit can apply it to every single area in which maybe we're struggling right now. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's just focus for just a minute. I'm going to go through those four commands and let the Holy Spirit talk to you. I'm only going to spend about 15 seconds on each one. Reflect on this. Number one, find your security in God. Number two, surrender completely. Number three, reject personal reasoning. And number four, always keep the Lord in front. Father, you know how your word just blows me away so many times. I know that sometimes we can hear a message that's about salvation through Christ and his atonement sacrifice on the cross for our sins. And we may have heard that message 500 times in the past, but even as we hear it, it's like a brand new message. You bring that to us and you make it new and you help us to be excited about it every single time. And Father, in the same way, as we study your word about trusting in you, we know these truths. Almost everyone in here has read this passage before, could probably quote it from memory. And yet, Lord, you've brought it up for some reason again today, and I'm sure there are some here this morning who maybe need to make some U-turns. And as much as they know your word and as many times as they say they live for you, there are some areas where they need to acknowledge right now that they're not headed down a path that's right for them. So, Father, encourage us. You love us. That's why you tell us to make our paths straight, to go the way that you have designed for us. And so I pray that in that love this morning, we would accept that rebuke, that change that needs to happen. Lord, we would constantly be asking you and looking to you for our wisdom and not ourselves. That may be the greatest challenge of all. But Lord, when we do that, when we look to your word and talk to you, pray with other believers, you're going to help us to prosper. And for that, we will never stop thanking you and praising you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.